The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hello, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Delayed Ocrevus infusion may increase MRI-based RRMS risk. An extended interval between maintenance doses of Ocrevus or ocrelizumab may increase the risk of MRI-based disease activity in people with relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis, according to a real-world multicenter study in Italy. In fact, an extended interval dosing by 1 month or longer was associated with a five-fold higher risk of MRI-based disease activity, defined as new or enlarging lesions or the presence of new lesions with active inflammation. This didn't translate into an increased risk of clinical relapses or greater rates of confirmed disability progression, however. Further studies with longer follow-up periods are needed to confirm these findings and determine whether Ocrevus extended interval dosing is safe in this patient population, the researchers noted. The study, is it time for ocrelizumab extended interval dosing in relapsing remitting MS? Evidence from an Italian multicenter experience during the COVID-19 pandemic was published in Neurotherapeutics. Immunosuppressive disease-modifying therapies, or DMTs, are a mainstay for people with multiple sclerosis, but the COVID-19 pandemic has delayed many scheduled appointments for infusion DMTs, or those administered directly into the bloodstream. Such delays in treatment were reportedly not caused by fear of immunosuppressive drug use, but rather by the general fear of contracting a fatal disease, which is often the case during traveling and hospital visits, the researchers wrote. Ocrevus, an infusion DMT, is approved for both relapsing forms of MS and primary progressive multiple sclerosis. The first two doses are administered 2 weeks apart at 300 milligrams, followed by 600 milligram maintenance doses every 6 months. While Ocrevus injections were frequently postponed by patients during the pandemic, the consequences of dosing delays remain largely unclear. Standard versus extended dosing intervals. To address this, researchers retrospectively analyzed clinical and MRI data from RRMS patients who received Ocrevus at standard versus extended intervals during the pandemic at 9 Italian MS centers. Extended interval dosing, or EID, was defined as an infusion delay of at least 4 weeks, or about a month, representing an interval of at least 7 months instead of the standard 6 months. Three infusions were considered for defining standard versus extended dosing intervals, the last infusion before January 2020, and two subsequent infusions up to June 2021. The study included 278 patients, 178 women, 100 men, mean age 43.2, who'd been living with the disease for a mean of 10.6 years and had received a mean of 1.9 DMTs before Ocrevus. A total of 174 patients received all three Ocrevus injections at standard intervals, the standard interval dosing or SDI group, while 104 received at least one delayed infusion, the EDI group. Those in the EDI group had a significantly longer disease duration and a significantly higher COVID-19 vaccination rate than those on standard dosing. From January 2020 to June 2021, 18 patients, two in the EDI group, experienced 24 clinical relapses. 21, six on the EDI group, showed new or enlarging lesions on MRI, and 12, six in each group, had confirmed disability progression, or CDP. Increased risk. When adjusting for potential influencing factors, EDI was found to significantly increase the risk of MRI-based disease activity by 5.3 times, but not of clinical relapses or disability progression. The team also found that a deficient B-cell depletion before the third infusion and a shorter time on Ocrevus treatment were significant risk factors for relapses, while a longer disease duration was associated with a greater risk of MRI-based activity. In both groups, 97.1% of patients showed no evidence of disease activity in the 6 months after the third infusion, as defined by the absence of clinical relapses, new brain lesions, and CDP. This suggested EDI had no effect on this outcome. This is in line with previous studies which showed that B-cell depleting DMTs have been delayed by 1 to 3 months during the pandemic, but no major rebound in disease activity has been reported, the researchers wrote. To our knowledge, this is the first report suggesting caution in use of the EID regimen due to MRI activity, the team wrote. While this does not seem to affect patients' disability level, as revealed by the lower rate of CDP observed in both groups, we cannot exclude a negative impact on disability accrual with longer follow-up, they added. Further studies following patients for longer periods are needed to confirm whether this increased risk of new brain lesions with delayed Ocrevus dosing is associated with long-term changes in the disease course trajectory, the researchers wrote. Further research should also determine whether the extension of a single infusion interval significantly affects disease progression over a longer period of time and analyze clinical and safety outcomes in patients on SID versus continuous EID, they concluded. This news article was written by Marta Figueredo, PhD, on September 2, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. The MS Wire, a column by Ed Tobias published on September 2, 2022. Researchers hit a bump on the BTK inhibitor road. A little over a year ago, I wrote about whether Bruton's tyrosine kinase inhibitors, or BTKIs, might be the next big thing in multiple sclerosis treatments. BTKIs are small molecules that selectively block an enzyme that's important for the activation of B cells in the immune system and microglia, cells whose job is to protect neurons. Some of both types of cells are thought to be responsible for the abnormal immune responses that characterize MS. BTKIs seem to be able to selectively target these cells, wiping out those that harm the immune system of people with MS, while leaving normal cells alone. They are also able to enter the brain, so there's hope they may be able to attack smoldering MS, which progresses without any evidence of inflammatory activity. BTK inhibitors being studied in several big pharma trials. A number of clinical trials of BTKIs for people with MS are underway. Sanofi is studying tolebrutinib. Genentech has been testing fenebrutinib. And EMD Serono, or Merrick KGAA, outside of the U.S. and Canada, has been investigating evobrutinib. About a year ago, Biogen paid $125 million to the Chinese biopharmaceutical company, InnoCare, for rights to orlabrutinib in the field of MS. Sanofi clinical trial suspended in U.S. But there's a hang-up with tolebrutinib. At the end of June, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration put Sanofi's Phase 3 clinical trial of the investigational therapy on a partial clinical hold, and Sanofi paused patient enrollment in the U.S. The reason? A limited number of cases of drug-induced liver injury have been connected to patients in the tolebrutinib study. In a press release, Sanofi said the complications occurred in patients who had other illnesses that made them predisposed to that kind of liver injury. The pharmaceutical company has modified its study protocols and says it remains confident in the future of tolebrutinib as a potentially transformative oral treatment option for people living with MS. Where does this leave BTKIs? Is the tolebrutinib problem just a bump in the BTKI road, or is that road starting to crumble? Right now, Phase 2 and 3 trials of fenebrutinib continue for primary progressive MS and other relapsing forms of the disease. A pair of Phase 3 trials continues for evobrutinib in relapsing forms of MS, as does a Phase 2 trial for orlabrutinib in relapsing remitting MS. In early August, a Sanofi press release reported the company expects to provide the FDA with all required information by the end of September. It hopes that the information will persuade U.S. regulators to allow recruitment for its U.S. clinical trial to resume sometime in the fourth quarter of this year. I suspect this is, indeed, only a small bump in the BTKI road. I certainly hope so. We've come a long way since taking the first small steps with disease-modifying therapies 30 years ago. I'm hoping BTK inhibitors will be the next giant leap. To read more columns from Ed Tobias and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.